I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
All members of council are present, Your Worship.
Thank you. There's no addendum, just some very brief announcements. I had an opportunity on Friday evening to attend an event at the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center. Councillor Becerro and I were the, I think we were the entertainment, weren't we, Councillor? It was an event where the community gathered, and there was some traditional Aboriginal, Indigenous singing and dancing, and it was very enlightening. There were individuals from all over Ontario. In fact, I spent a fair bit of the evening discussing some issues with a gentleman from Oneida on the Thames, who actions here as well. So that was a very interesting event. It's part and parcel of the effort by the Indigenous people to impress upon the broader society the importance of reconciliation. And you recall that we had a delegation here not too long ago about racism. They put together a video which we'll be circulating and up on our own website. It's a very interesting video. On Saturday evening, I attended the part of the Jarvis Street, Bridgeworth BIA street dance, which was very, very well attended. I just missed Councillor McDermott, but there was packed. The weather was fantastic, large crowd, and everything seemed to run very smoothly. It didn't seem to be any difficulties whatsoever. So it was a good event put on by the BIA, and they're to be commended, Councillor McDermott. And then finally, a week ago, last Tuesday, actually, the Chamber of Commerce held its business after 5 at the racetrack, and prior to that, had an opportunity to meet with a delegation of Chinese investors that the Chamber of Commerce has been dealing with. They're going to be coming back into town again. And I just wanted to highlight for the community that this is something that we're running into fairly frequently. Some of the councillors have been working with out-of-town investors. And so we have a lot of interest in not just residential, but also commercial and industrial. And so there's a lot of that percolating under the surface, and this seemed to be quite an interesting endeavor, and the Chamber of Commerce was fully on board. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? If none, we have two upcoming public meetings, and notice of those public meetings is given right now. One is an official plan amendment on Thompson Road, Bone Road, Arcadia. That's on October the 2nd at 6 p.m. here in the Town Hall Council Chambers, and the information report relative to that application will be available on our website on Wednesday, September the 27th. Same evening, same time, 6 p.m. in the Town Hall. There will be a public meeting about draft plan of subdivision and zoning bylaw amendment for what's known as the Spears Garden subdivision off of Pettit Road. And again, the information report will be available September the 27th. That takes us to the Regional Councillor Report, and I see Councillor Nunziata here. Good evening.
Good evening, Your Worship. Good evening, members of Council, members in the gallery. Greetings, anyways. So some infrastructure work currently started throughout the town of Fort Erie, and it's always a good sign when we see construction. I know it's a bit irritating when it comes to holding up traffic and taking our cues from the guys with the signs, but it's good news for Fort Erie. So Central Avenue works are presently underway, curving along the south side of Central Avenue. Public realms funding, as you know, the town of Fort Erie was successful for $17,000. So that streetscaping and bus shelters are going in down at the intersection of Central Avenue and Jarvis Street. And I will talk a little bit about the public realms funding. And one of those programs that we started at the region in 2016 with an initial seed allowance of $250,000. It's been so well received and oversubscribed that on Wednesday in Planning and Economic Development, there will be an ask for an additional $250,000, topping up that program to $500,000 for public realms funding. So basically, public realms funding is anything for streetscaping, specifically along regional road corridors. Perfect example would be the Central Avenue and Jarvis Street. I don't know if the Ridgeway intersection, possibly Dominion Road, as far as a regional road goes. But we'll see what the terms of reference are for that particular funding envelope, and hopefully we can get some more funding down here in Fort Erie. The SNP program, I know there was an article in the newspaper. It has not been canceled. It's been oversubscribed. So it really should have been a good news story. We're talking about the region setting aside $600,000 for the SNP program. And on top of that, we dipped another $400,000 into reserves. So it is a very well-received program. We have to go through the exercise just to see what the amount should be in that fund in order not to keep going back into reserves and topping it up. As you know, we did have a couple business owners that tapped into the reserve funding, Fate down on Jarvis Street and Brody's down in Ridgeway. So again, it's not canceled. It's not going away. It's just a matter of finding out what the metrics are as far as how much money should we put in that fund. Dominion Road will be starting up very, very shortly, so I'm excited about that. County Firm Law, if you notice that the mound of dirt is gone, that property has been completely remediated. Part of the conditions of sale was to have a record of site condition, a clean bill of health for that property. I can proudly say that that is the case, that the owner of that property met his obligation and he remediated the front corner. Historically, there was an old gas station there. So that property has been remediated and that is ready to go as well. Another exciting piece of business is the FTZ, the Foreign Trade Zone. So what we will be talking about on Wednesday is to direct staff to restructure Team Niagara funding to support a Niagara Foreign Trade Zone operations for consideration as part of the 2018 budget deliberations. So I am proud to say that the hub, the bricks and mortar operations of the Foreign Trade Zone partnership will be here in Fort Erie. So that's an incredible piece of news. As you know, the Foreign Trade Zone is something Regional Council has been working on very, very diligently. The task force has been set up. It resembles something like the 14 U.S. foreign trade zones on the other side of the Great Lakes. There's only one foreign trade zone in all of Ontario, and it's right here in Fort Erie. So I'll make sure that we keep Council apprised as far as moving forward. The benefits of the foreign trade zone, benefits in duties, tariffs, tax-free incentives if you bring your business to Niagara. So we're offering a whole suite of economic incentives to develop right here in Niagara and certainly right here in Fort Erie. So hopefully with the support of the federal government, with the support of the provincial government, with the support of the region, Fort Erie will be on the map for the foreign trade zone designation. And I'm proud to say it will be right here in Fort Erie as far as the bricks and mortar hub. Let's see what else we got. Okay, that pretty much completes my report to Council, Your Worship, and I'll open up for questions or comments.
Thank you very much, Councillor Annunziata. And just piggybacking on the final comments you made about the FTZ, that Jim Tiber with the Economic Development Corporation has been very actively involved in that. And that's so he's to be credited along with the other EDOs for working on that. Are there any members of Council that have any questions of the Regional Council? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, good news about the Foreign Trade Zone. I'm really excited, so thank you, Councillor. I have a couple of questions with respect to SNP and the allocations of funding that will be going forward. I know that that's going to be based on metrics, but with the announcement of, well, not the announcement, but the push to bring GO down to Grimsby and Niagara Falls, do you feel that more money will be put aside for that as opposed to the SNP program?
Great question, Councillor. My feeling and my sense is that the Smarter Niagara Incentive Program has been very well utilized by all 12 municipalities. There is incredible amount of support supporting our lower tier municipalities when it comes to leveraging funding. So if the town of Fort Erie contributes 25%, the region will contribute 25%, and certainly it's one of those incentives that we look to draw investment into our downtown corridors. To your point, I think Regional Council will certainly look at the funding historically of $600,000. We know that it's been incredibly oversubscribed, and we will put in a budgeted amount that is very responsible, but very... very indicative of the response that we've gotten so far. So the SNP program, in my estimation, is not going away. It's actually being topped up. It's just a more fiscally prudent way of doing business, where in the past, The terms of reference were quite clear. It was first to the table, first served. But we at the region, we didn't even follow that model. We just never said no. We said absolutely. And as a result of that, requests had to keep coming back to council, and we just took it from reserves and gave it to the applicants. No applicant has ever been turned down. So that model of first come, first serve, we've never really utilized it. So as the new terms of reference come forward and there's some more rigor to the project and to the programs, we will make sure that funding gets to where it needs to get to and in appropriate amounts as well. So to your question, absolutely. I think there will be more money budgeted for the SNP program.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. That's really good to hear, and through you, if I may. Councillor Nutt had forwarded to myself and another member of council a presentation that was made with respect to the GO train, and specifically what it would look like in the downtown cores in the Grimsby and the Niagara Falls area and how it would be built up, similar to that in the Burlington GO station. And it looks absolutely beautiful, but that's advantageous to those two areas. So my concern is that we'd like to continue to build that momentum here in Fort Erie. We certainly don't want to be forgotten in this area. And what kind of assurances do you think that will need to have in play for that? Because I'm concerned that the focus will be primarily in the townships or the cities that are going to be surrounded with GO.
So as you know, those hubs have already been identified. Grimsby is first on the radar, shortly thereafter St. Catharines and then Niagara Falls. As far as the connectivity goes, absolutely. We subscribe to a deference model where at the end of the day, if it's the will of this council to put together a strategic plan for those transportation corridors and those transportation hubs, you pass that vision on to us, and we'll certainly make sure that it's included in the overall vision. So this isn't a top-down exercise. This is a bottom-up exercise. So whatever the town of Fort Erie wants to do with respect to having a vision of that connectivity to the new GO line links, pass it on. And I'm sure town staff and this council is very equipped to come up with a vision, how they see Fort Erie developing and how they see the connectivity of Fort Erie to the broader Niagara community.
Just one last question,
yes,
if you don't mind, Your Worship.
No.
Thank you. With respect to the streetscaping and the funding that's associated with that, down in the Ridgeway Corridor, obviously we can't capitalize on that because the regional road falls on the Dominion, so it's really difficult to try to capture the opportunity to pull some of that funding in. Is there any room to take a look at that by the region stance and see if we can expand a little bit with the scope of the model?
There's certainly opportunities there, but again, we take our cue from the lower tier municipality, and certainly the BIAs are a huge part of that partnership. So whatever their vision is, and I'll give you a great example of the Fort Erie Transit shelters and streetscape enhancements at the intersection of Central Avenue and Jarvis Street in Bridgeburg. That was in direct collaboration with the BIAs, first identifying that there was a funding source, putting together their vision, passing it up to this council, and this council and this staff advocating to the region to say, hey, this fits the parameters, this fits the terms of reference, could we dedicate some funding towards this? So I'm going to encourage you to do the same thing. I'll give you some of the other examples. Pelham, seating area on Rice Road, Welland, multi-use path along Prince Charles, Niagara and St. Catharines, Niagara Street and Geneva Street, and again, 100,000 in St. Catharines, 12,000 in Pelham, Niagara Falls, 29,000, Grimsby Main Street, 22,000, and certainly the town of Fort Erie, 17,000. So it's a $250,000 envelope. It's now increased to $500,000. So if the project is worthy, it meets the terms of reference that it's on a regional corridor, certainly, we will definitely look at it and we will fund that project.
Yeah, we did submit something, but we got rejected. So obviously it wasn't where, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we will push for something a little bit.
Keep pushing, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And if we can kind of massage it and make it kind of fit, then we'll certainly try to do that as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Nunziata, in regards to the most recent bylaw, DC charges that was passed at the region that you voted in favor for, I'm now going to ask you to take two of my constituents, new DCs, and have them ask to have them waived at the region. The two, because of that bylaw coming into effect, now have to pay in excess of $46,000 on the one and an extra $31,000 on the other, all because what I had pointed out prior to that passing was ignored at the regional level. I had asked for the definition of agriculture to be reviewed and looked at, and now I'm getting a lot of calls. The constituents of Fort Erie in my ward are seriously impacted by what the region has done. So I'm going to ask that when I pass along their information to you tonight, that you go meet with Mr. Dean Rosiani and let them know that town staff is also in favor of having these charges waived or some kind of exemption. The crux of it lies in the definition of agricultural use, because they're hay farmers for horses and horse breeders. They don't have an agricultural tax number because they're not actually growing a crop. So this is, under the new definition, they wouldn't qualify as agricultural. They get assessed at the commercial rate because they are a business. So basically they're getting assessed at the new rate of $5.20 per square foot, and these buildings that they want to erect are quite large. These are people that went and secured funding based on the last DCs and, you know, now have to go back to their banks and ask for excessive amounts of additional funds just to be able to get their building permit. So we're causing a lot of distress with people here in the ward, and I'm going to ask that when I pass along their information, you please go meet and see if we can get these charges waived, because they certainly are unjust.
And if I can respond, absolutely.
Sure.
So I've already spoken to one of the residents that has a concern. And to your point, so DC charges are assessed based on zoning of the property. So for agricultural zoning, there are three conditions that have to be met. And I think they're very fair conditions. Number one, you have to declare a yearly gross farm income of $7,000 to be under that agricultural zoning. So if you can declare $7,000 in revenue, then you're agricultural and you're DC exempt under the agricultural zoning. Also, the property owner has to register annually under the Farm Registration and Farm Organizations Funding Act of 1993 and be assessed in the Farmland Realty Tax Clause tax class by the Municipal Property Assessment Corporation. So any one of those conditions triggers agricultural zoning. So I did speak to one of your constituents. She said she's already gone through that process. Her taxes aren't going to go until November. So my instructions were her to, real simple, I will certainly support her agricultural zoning because it's a timing issue. Once the assessment goes through Canada Revenue, she should be exempt from those DCs. So it's incumbent on this council and certainly town staff to make sure that they support her application. And they have no problems or concerns that she technically does fall within the agricultural class. And by all means, when it's forwarded up to the region, if this council and this staff has no problem recognizing that she will soon fit within those categories, those classes, then it's no problem advocating for to waive those DC charges. So I did speak to her, like I said, and again, I have no problem supporting her. So just real quickly, here is the relevant portion of the DC bylaw that would apply to her and certainly your other constituent. Under exemption, section 12, notwithstanding any other provision of this bylaw, no development charges imposed under the bylaw respecting granny flats, parking structures, land and buildings used for agricultural use. So if she can declare that she is a bona fide agricultural use, and when I spoke to her, she said by November she will, then it's no problem and she will be DC exempt.
Councillor,
thank you, Your Worship. Just to follow up with that, because I have the act in front of me and I know exactly what you're quoting because I can read. My concern is the time. She has her drawings now. She wants her permit now so that she can build before the winter because she needs a place to store all her hay because she is a horse breeder. So how does she get that? Like, our staff has already said they're going to support her. Do we just send that along to the region then?
Absolutely. Send it up. Okay. If it requires resolution of this council to waive the DC bylaw because it's impending and it's imminent, absolutely. Then it's the resolution of this council that you should be sending forward. If it's simply staff accepting that she will be DC exempt, whether it's an surety bond that she places until that taxation component is fulfilled, then we could do that thing, that type of thing as well. So again, it's incumbent on this council to support her, and we will certainly support the request of the town moving forward at the region.
Now, you just said she has to put up a surety bond. I just said she doesn't have the ability to do that.
No, I didn't say she has to. I said whatever mechanism the town of Fort Erie wants to use to ensure that they're on board, whether it's a simple letter, if she needs to get started ASAP, ultimately it's this municipality that issues the building permit. So if they're comfortable in the information that she's passing on to the town, and the town can work through some mechanism that they support her through a DC waiver because she falls or she will fall eventually under the agricultural class, then we have no problem supporting that initiative at the region.
You're right. It is this town that has, through you, if I may, Your Worship, we are the ones that issued the building permits, but we collect taxes on behalf of everybody else. So if we don't collect that, then we're, the town is in default for not collecting somebody else's tax requirement, such as the regions or the provinces. So I just want to be very clear on what she has to do so that we can get this done, so that we can resolve this matter for her that will allow her as a small business person to continue to do business within our town. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll follow up real quickly. It's the town that collects the DC charges. So if the town is comfortable in supporting her, that she...
Okay. It's correct. Yeah. And we don't have to collect the DC charges.
Correct.
To date, we have. And we'd like to continue to cooperate with the region.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
I don't know that, I think part of the issue here is, I don't know that it's for the town to determine whether or not the regional bylaw applies or not, and that's the conundrum. But perhaps the two of you can, the efforts of this particular resident in the future.
Absolutely.
Any other members of council? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to our regional councilor, I just want to correct some history. The BIA in Bridgeburg was not successful in their public realms funding. We got the scraps that were left over after the larger city centers got the majority of those dollars. So while we appreciate the $17,000, it's not what we asked for, it's not what we applied for, it's what was left. And I appreciate the additional dollars coming forward, but to Councillor Butler's point, if the region already has other intended plans for those dollars, it doesn't really matter how much the budget is increased if we're not going to see them. So I hope we can take you at your word tonight that we'll be seeing some of those dollars come forward. It would be much appreciated for both Bridgeburg and Ridgeway and some other city centers here in Fort Erie coming up.
Yeah, so just to clarify, you're absolutely correct that the BIA had submitted much grander plans, closer to the effect of $60,000 to $70,000. Part of those plans included the removal of overhead hydro wires. It was an impossibility to accommodate the plan that they had for the archways and the gateway entrance features because of those overhead wires. So that's why the plan was scaled down. So in the future moving forward, if there's an opportunity to fulfill that particular vision that the BIA had, it has to include some kind of mechanism, some kind of funding mechanism to remove the overhead wires. So that was the only reason why that particular plan was scaled down, is because of the overhead hydro wires, and there was no way to bury those wires, Councillor.
Yeah, through Your Worship, the plan was not scaled down with consultation from the BIA. The BIA was told, if you'd like something, here's what you're going to get, and it was $17,000. So to assert that there was some type of compromise on behalf of the BIA is not factual. We were given $17,000, told this is what you can use it for. There was no compromise or correspondence. So we're hoping going forward we can initiate the original plans, and I'm sure that Council McDermott will be bringing an application forward.
Absolutely. So bring those plans forward, and if there's an opportunity to implement the more grander vision and it meets the criteria of the public realms funding, then absolutely we'll be advocating for the BIA and certainly the town of Fort Erie at that particular corridor.
Okay. I appreciate that. And to Councillor Nutt's point, I'm very supportive of what he's trying to do, and we hope to have your votes on this issue. There's been a couple times in recent memory where you've pledged your support to our council, but when the vote has come at the region, it hasn't been there. So I'm hoping on this issue you can carry that ball forward for us. Thank you.
I want to respond to that.
nothing to respond.
Whatever
the vision of this council is, I'll certainly bring forward that that message and certainly that support, like I've always done in the past. With respect to the DC bylaw, unfortunately, the vote just wasn't there. What we had to do was compromise, and we were fortunate to get the archaeological component within the DC bylaw, and I thought that was a big win for the town of Fort Erie. So unfortunately, sometimes you have the vote, sometimes you don't have the vote. And on this particular occasion, we did not have the vote with the DC bylaw.
Thank you, Councillor. I was speaking on the airport issue, but I appreciate your comments regarding the DC charges.
Well, with respect to the airport issue, I'm a huge fan of investing in airports, and I do believe that there is an opportunity to make sure that when we put together our master transportation links, it just doesn't include our highway corridors, but they certainly put together a very robust plan that includes air, land, and certainly well and canal, and certainly our transportation corridor links. So I am a huge supporter of the airport component. As you know, the region is currently seeking the support of our Buffalo counterparts, trying to lure Amazon here. People say it's a million to one long shot, but we're certainly going to give it a try. Part of that discussion is certainly about airports. And if we can do something with respect to the Amazon bid and airports, we're certainly going to try.
Councilor Passero.
I appreciate our regional representative's opinion and his thoughts on the matter, but this council was vehemently opposed to that issue. And we would hope that as someone who sits around this horseshoe, that you are Fort Erie's representative at the region, not the region salesperson here in Fort Erie. So on issues like that, I appreciate how you personally feel, but we would expect some support as a council when we pass a resolution to a certain effect. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I appreciate those comments, and I certainly represent the interests of the town of Fort Erie on the grander and bigger scale of our 12 partners throughout the Niagara region. But to your point, if the support of airports was not forthcoming from this council, I certainly think that it was due to the fact that you thought more money should be dedicated towards intermunicipal transit. And that never was the case. We weren't taking away funding for intermunicipal transit in order to give to airports. We were doing everything that we possibly could to secure intermunicipal transit. And I'm very, very happy to say that in the first time in the history of the Niagara region, that we now have a plan for intermunicipal transit, and that's moving forward. So we do have a plan for intermunicipal transit. That's been a feather in the cap of this regional government, and we can certainly support multiple projects, airports being one of them, intermunicipal transit being another one, and they're not mutually exclusive. I think they do work hand in hand, and we'll be supporting as many transportation initiatives as we possibly could. We're successful in getting the GO train, we're successful in getting intermunicipal transit, and if there's an opportunity to make sure that at some point in the history of Niagara that we have a dedicated airport, I think that's a reasonable goal. We are the only geographical sized area for this population without a major airport. So if you look at all the other areas throughout North America, a population of this size, 460,000, every one of those populations has a major destination airport. Niagara is the only one that does it. So I do think it's a worthy cause. I do support airports here in Niagara, and I certainly support intermunicipal transit. So if we can bundle all those transportation links together, I think that's a good and worthy cause.
Your Worship, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but you can't make everything a priority. It's like when you're writing a letter. If you put everything in bold, you've put nothing in bold. And our enthusiasm here lied with intermunicipal. So I appreciate your comments.
Okay. So, let me ask you a question.
So we did make intermunicipal transit a priority, and we were successful in creating the first intermunicipal transit.
In fairness, we're partway through that process of intermunicipal transit. We've got the three major carriers now working together with the region,
but we're
nowhere near having an integrated system, and that's going to take several years and lots of money. And
correct.
I think that's our concern, is that any money that's not allocated towards that objective, which will serve far more people than we think an airport. So that's where we've got a difference of opinion. But I did want to bring you back to the DC bylaw. It's brought to my attention that this is going to be back on the regional council agenda next Thursday, week from Thursday at the regional council. I presume that there's something maybe on planning, on the planning committee agenda for Wednesday this week.
So I know the city of Welland has appealed the DC bylaw, so we're waiting to see how that plays out. If there's an opportunity to certainly help smooth in transition to the new DC bylaw, I think that's the opportunity there.
My understanding is that there may have been a flaw with respect to notice requirements for the new bylaw. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with that, but if it does come back to corporate services, where I believe it would come to subcommittee, I know there's nothing on our agenda for Wednesday at corporate services or planning and development, but I'll certainly keep this council apprised of if there's any new information with respect to the DC bylaw.
I'll be at the region tomorrow as well for public works and public health, and I'll find out what I can, but I've been told that there's going to be a public meeting on October the 5th, maybe arising out of adequate notice adhered to and going through the process. And if that's the case, that will be of interest. There are a couple of major points of concern that we have expressed to the region. The first one has to do with the agricultural DC charges, and Mr. Brady was very helpful in assisting me to send a letter off to the region on that. And the second is the multi-res charges, which exceed, you know, a four-bedroom apartment is greater development charges than a house. That doesn't make any sense. So that there may be an opportunity, hopefully, to make some changes there. And then, of course, finally, the CIP provisions, particularly with respect to the brownfields, so that if this does come back, Councillor Nunziata, in the eyes of this council, this will be an opportunity for redemption.
Well, we're all about redemption, but there is one other point that you brought up, and that has to do with the letter that was sent from Planning and Development Services for the town of Fort Erie, and the proposed regional natural heritage system and implementation procedures for the agricultural system for the growth for the Greater Golden Horseshoe. So as you know, that mapping was done. We had discussions with ministers at AMO on that particular issue, and the polygon and the algorithms that went into that, and how this particularly impacts the town of Fort Erie with respect to employment lands and some of our showcase developments coming on the forefront, CMS and Miller's Creek Marine as well. So we do have that letter. We will be discussing that at Planning and Development, Planning and Economic Development, and the region will take these proposals and these considerations forward.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other councillors? Councillor McDermott.
I'll have a question at the end of this, but I just want to make it clear that my comments last week were because, with regards to the CIP, were because of the fact that we really only had a two-week notice previous to the time that we were told that we couldn't do past the 4th of August. So we only had 2 weeks' notice. And we had six or seven individuals that could not get in by the 4th, and who knows now what they'll do. My biggest concern is, just like yours, I suspect, that the plan has worked so well for not only Bridgeburg, but Ridgeway, and I want to make sure that when the secondary plans are done in the South End and in Crystal Beach, that there's going to be that plan still in place. Because especially in Crystal Beach's case, where already millions of dollars have been invested. So once we get the beachfront going, I mean, there's going to be a call for that revival downtown and more money invested. And my biggest concern right now, as far as I'm concerned, the program's kind of on hold because of funding. I just want to make sure, and I didn't see that in the report, that that plan was going to be there. I suspected that they were going to have some time to review. And then I just don't want it to show up in 2019. We're looking for 2018 funding, and I'm sure you are too. So I just wanted to explain my comments because I have two areas that I am working in. And one is with the BIAs, and secondly, in planning. So we just came from a development roundtable where we heard about the DC charges in spades, and you know they're all quite concerned about it. I suspect my question is, how do we manage ahead especially with the DC charges? Because if it costs more to put a house in, it's going to cost more for the consumer, and all the way around, everybody's eating the charge. How do we make that fair? That's my big question.
No, and it's a great question. I think it's a question that really doesn't have an answer and hasn't had an answer for the past 20 years with our lower tier partners and certainly at the region. I think the old question is, should development pay for itself? Or should taxation and increasing the tax levy on residents, should that pay for development? So ultimately, there's a balance there. We'd like to think that if you come into a municipality and you develop, that the developer pays the cost for the sidewalks, for the infrastructure. In the absence of a fair DC bylaw system, those costs are simply passed on to the residents spread out throughout the town of Fort Erie. So again, it's a juggling act. If you don't take enough through DC bylaw, then ultimately you leave funding gaps and infrastructure gaps that you as a council have to determine how are you going to fund this. And unfortunately, in the absence of provincial or federal or regional grants, the only opportunity you have is to possibly raise taxes to meet that funding gap. So again, it's a balancing act. I think we all agree that it's not a perfect system. But again, the overarching goal is we would like to think that development pays for itself. And that's the whole, that's the whole idea behind a development charge. Do we have the balance right? I don't think we do just yet. But that's why it's always a work in progress, and that's why we have partners from our lower tier municipalities passing on their ideas. We accept those ideas, and we hopefully put together a plan that works for everybody. So where there's opportunity, we'd like to think that the DC bylaw is fair, and that's what we're working towards, is fairness. So to your point, Councillor McDermott, excellent questions. That we want to be fair, and that's what the DC bylaw should reflect, and that's what we're working towards.
Councillor Nunziata, I presume that if there's going to be a public meeting on the 5th of October, that means that there's going to be an opportunity for some further dialogue about this DC bylaw, which means that there are three items that I've highlighted that I'm undoubtedly going to be requesting some amendment to, because they make it very difficult. Maybe in Grimsby, where there's nothing but multi-res construction, there's no problem. They're going to get their development charges regardless. But in every other municipality where, there's pressure on us to meet intensification targets set by the province, it's very difficult for us to get apartment blocks built when developers are going to have to pay the kinds of charges that four-bedroom apartments are calling for, even one or two-bedroom. They're pretty daunting, and so that's going to be a challenge. But next week should be interesting, but perhaps you and I can chat prior to that time and maybe compare some notes. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. That takes us then to consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, then Councillor McDermott, you have the resolution for consent agenda, an agenda package.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Luberts. The Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Takes us to new business and inquiries. And does anyone have any new business? Any inquiries? Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Your Worship. This question is for Mr. Walsh. There have been some delays in the project at Kings Mill and on Catherine Street from Battery to Niagara Boulevard. Is there any way that you could please put some communication together and have them dropped in the residence's mailbox so they're brought up to speed on what's causing these delays?
For you, Mr. Mayor, yes, certainly we can. I'm a little disappointed in the contractor's activities on this front, but that's the least we can do for the residents. We'll get notice out by the end of the week.
Just as a point of interest, were they on the job today?
Mr. Mayor, the
Councillor Butler says no. Is that your answer?
Although
I would suggest it should be.
Although Von Gibbons Contracting themselves are not on the job, their subcontractors are on the site.
Okay, because I know that there's activity on Hibbert Street and Ridgeway. And the truck said Gibbons on the side, so I'm presuming they're there. Did you have an opportunity to look into that?
Yes, according to Mr. Brady, all the permits are in place for Hibbert.
Do they have to post any bonds with us with respect to digging up our road?
They do have sureties with us, yes, with respect to the development, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know they're not the developer. They're just the contractor for the developer.
It would be the developer that's
yes.
Put up the sureties.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Anything further, Councillor McDermott? Councillor Knutt, and then Councillor Lubbers.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady, can we meet to discuss the issue of sending a letter of support or what we can work out for the two constituents in regards to the DCs, the regional DCs?
Brady?
Through to Councillor Knutt. Absolutely, we can meet. I think it would be advantageous if the meeting included both the region and the town. So I think if a meeting could, I think in the past, Mr. Jennings has suggested that a meeting of himself, myself, you, the appropriate staff member at the region, and if Mr. or Councilor Nunziata could, join us, that would be great, because I think there is a bit of a communications gap here.
I'd like to be at that meeting as well, but I'm wondering, Mr. Brady, if
I didn't mean to not mean you.
I'm on the regional council. I'm wondering if your assistant could perhaps work on setting that up.
I will certainly do so.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Brady. Councillor Knutt, anything further? Councillor Lubbers?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Over the past week or so, I've had a lot of comments from people going down to Bay Beach, a lot of constituents complaining that although the summer is over, it seems like we've packed everything up down there and moved on. And with the extended weather that we're having for the summer, a lot of people are going down to the beach, and there's no there's complaints of no garbage cans down on the beach, and people are piling their garbage in different places, and there's no garbage cleanup. So I'm just wondering if staff could go down to Bay Beach and place some garbage cans down there and monitor the weather. If the weather's going to be good and they think there's going to be some people down at the beach, at least have some garbage containers down there. And I brought this up over the last couple of years, even in the winter, and people go down to the beach on a regular basis, the locals that are here all winter, and the same thing. There's no garbage cans down there for people to drop off their litter, and I'm hoping that maybe they can just maintain some facilities down there for the winter months as well.
I think that in the future that'll probably be dealt with by some of the improvements that are going to be made, but in the interim, Mr. Waltz, do you have any comments on that?
Nothing further, but certainly I think a can or two over the winter is a great great opportunity. We know the beach is used all year long.
And were there adequate washroom facilities for this past little hot stretch, Mr. Waltz?
I don't know the answer to that.
That's again another issue. Did you hear anything, Councillor Lubbers, about that? Okay, so I'm guessing that there were. You would have heard about that. Anything further, Councillor Lubbers? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Brady. I had a resident call me shortly before I arrived here this evening. She has a property on Edgemere Lane. And what she was inquiring on is apparently there's a few of the very large waterfront properties that have decided to rent out their properties, advertising it for accommodating 20 or more people. But what's been happening is they've been renting these properties out, and the rentals have been hosting parties with over 150 people camping out in yards, and it's becoming a real issue for the Crescent Beach Waterfront Association, along with some additional residents. She'd mentioned she did speak to Bylaw, and Bylaw suggested that she speak to Council, because Council would have to change the Bylaw. And I'm just wondering if you can give me some direction as to where I go, because I wasn't really too clear on how we would have to change the Bylaw in order to resolve the issue.
Brady.
Through to Councillor Zanko. The issue of renting out properties for whatever purpose is tricky, quite tricky. As it sits today, clearly someone, you may rent out your property. It's simply taken for granted that that's acceptable. The idea of having these short-term rentals is starting to become a bit of a trending issue. Certainly Niagara Falls has had pressure by the hotel industry to slow down the amount of residential properties which are being used for these purposes. And they had a large large public meeting quite recently where, in fact, well over 100 people attended on the topic. And there was equally those that said, rent them, and those that said, don't. So it's a conflict which is starting in society, and we haven't fully addressed it in Fort Erie. What I've been doing, I've been sort of shadowing what Niagara Falls is doing on it and seeing where they're going to end up with it. I could bring a report to council in the future on what's going on with this whole idea of short-term rentals and what you can do and what you can't do, and try to use some of the Niagara Falls examples. And if council would like us staff to do that, I'd be happy to do so. But at the present time, bylaw is correct. The bylaws of the municipality permit people to rent out their houses.
Okay, so to be consistent, you'd have to bring forth a notice of motion to request a report for the staff to look into that, which you can do when we get to notice of motion.
Sure, that would be great.
Okay.
Can I just ask an additional
Absolutely.
Question through you? Mr. Brady, so if someone was to have an event or a large gathering with over 100 people as renters serving alcohol, would they need to have a permit for that type of gathering, or is that just something that's allowed as under maybe a party?
I'm guessing that they were charging, and the answer to that would be yes. Mr. Brady, do you have any further comments?
If, for example, assuming that it was their property, that you rented out the property and you decided to have a party at that property and you did not charge for the alcohol. So it was a party in the sense of a normal party. No, there's no permits required for that. If, on the other hand, you decided to have a party where you were running a bar, where you actually had liquor for sale or food for sale or combinations thereof, then yes, both the liquor board would want you to have a permit for that, and the municipality sometimes gets involved when there are those kinds of issues where people are Al puts out a license for that kind of undertaking. But I can tell you if someone is simply renting a property and they're at that property, they have a large party. The only thing to deal with that is if they are noisy beyond the noise bylaw comes into play. If they are causing interruptions into the normal daily lives of people, such as, you know, throwing beer bottles or those kinds of activities, then the group to call would be the police.
Thank you. And one further question, if I may. With regard to Airbnbs, Mr. Brady, do Airbnbs require some sort of a business license, or does that fall under the occasional renting of properties?
Brady.
Through you, Councillor Zanko, through to the mayor. The best of my knowledge is that an Airbnb doesn't require a business license. But I do know that that is one of the things that Niagara Falls is looking at in a little clearer way. They're trying to make that determination if there is some form of licensing that they can put in place for Airbnbs. At the present time, the only answer that I have is that we don't have any permit systems in Fort Erie for Airbnbs, but we also don't not allow them as well.
They're not permitted.
We're silent on the topic.
Okay, so if we do a notice of motion with respect to this, that might be an aspect looking into, because
absolutely.
It seems to me that there are some people that have properties now and all they're doing is renting. Short-term basis. Anything further, Councillor?
Nothing further. Thank you.
If I could, Mayor, to understand the magnitude of the problem that we're talking about, it might be of interest to you to take a look at some of the travel sites that rent out properties. I did a little while ago, and I was amazed at the number of sites in particularly the Crystal Beach area, both on the waterfront and not on the waterfront. We're not talking about a few cottages. We're talking about perhaps in the order of hundreds of cottages. So it's a very large issue. It's been ongoing for a very long time. There's a lot of history. A number of the waterfront properties have bunkies above their garages, which they rent out and have rented out for a number of years. There are cottages along the waterfront that have two and three dwellings on them, and they rent them out on a historic basis. So it's not something new in Fort Erie, but it is something that's very large.
Thank you. Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. And just to touch on that, I know when we visited the Airbnb booth at AMO, we were all quite shocked to Mr. Brady's comments exactly as to how many homes were available for rent. If I could, Your Worship, I just wanted to bring everyone's attention for those who maybe hadn't heard or hadn't read, but the heroic actions of Randy Matheson just a few days ago in helping to pull someone struggling out of the Niagara River. And I would hope that our chief would maybe give consideration to some type of presentation here at council. We have done it in the past at some point, but I just raised that to see if we could do that in this type of public forum.
Councilor Becerro, that is going to be on the agenda for the October the 10th council meeting.
Excellent.
I spoke to, actually ran into Mr. Matheson Friday evening, Saturday evening. So we will recognize him, and we have in the past recognized this type of heroic action. And if Mr. Matheson is available on the 10th, recognize his community heroism.
Tremendous. A great gentleman and a hero as well.
For sure. Yes.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Any other councillors? Then that takes us to motions. And Councillor Butler, you have a motion.
Yes, I do, Your Worship. As a member who voted on the prevailing side of the last motion, being resolution number 7 from the February 6, 2017 Council and Committee meeting, I wish for the following matter to be reconsidered. That, and it's moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott, that resolution number 7 regarding sea containers on commercial properties that was considered and defeated at the February 6, 2017 Council and Committee meeting, and those minutes were subsequently approved by Council on February 13, 2017 below be reconsidered. That Council directs staff to provide a report to That Council directs staff to provide a report to Council that with options on amending the zoning bylaw to allow sea containers on commercial properties, and further, that Council directs staff to prepare an information report with options on amending the zoning bylaw regarding shipping containers on all residential and commercial properties.
I think the proper procedure is that we would vote on the first that, and if that carries, then we can go to the second that. Councillor Butler, did you want to speak to this?
Point of order, Mayor Redica.
Councillor, reconsideration, there is no discussion, except for the person who moves the motion to reconsider.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Your point of order?
Yes. No, my point of order is that the reconsideration, and I'm in total support of reconsideration, but the second that would not be something that would brought for. The second that, I think what we need to do is bring the original motion forward to put that back on the floor for reconsideration. And then if you want to add residential, then you would add residential as an amendment to the original motion. I don't know that you can bring both together because we're not reconsidering the second that. It was never on the floor.
It's okay, so we're going to deal with the first that, which puts the issue of whether we will reconsider this or not. If that passes, then we're going to go to the second that.
As an amendment to the first that.
No, because the thing there at this stage of the game, there is nothing on the floor. If we because that original resolution was defeated, so there's nothing on the floor. Now the councillor is asking that that decision be reconsidered, and
then it's nothing on the floor. The first that will be on the floor. The original will be on the floor.
And it's open to Councillor Butler to move whatever she wishes.
Then it will be an amendment to the first that.
We're going to deal with the first one, Councillor Liberts, and worry about where we are after that if it passes.
Well, Mayor Redicup, then somebody's going to have to show me where it is in our rules of procedure and where it is in Robert's rules of order.
Okay, so you're out of order right now because we haven't even gotten to the reconsideration.
Well, I call it a point of order, Mayor Redicup, because this is not the way it should be done as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think
and so
wrong.
I need someone to show me where you can mix a motion in with a reconsideration motion.
So,
and if you read the resolution that's in front of us right now.
Councillor Lubert, you're out of order.
I'm not out of order.
Well, with all due respect, you are out of order. We haven't dealt with the reconsideration. If we reconsider it, then your comments may be in order as to what the content of the resolution to be determined by council is. But right now, we haven't reconsidered it. And the first of that is a reconsideration of the resolution that was defeated before. So we're, Councillor Butler, if you want to speak to the reconsideration, you're entitled to do that as the mover of the reconsideration motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. The reason that I'm bringing this forward is because I've been contacted by a number of individuals who are interested in doing more with the shipping containers with their businesses. And in fact, they've become more versatile in both residential settings and also the commercial settings. I don't want to have massive containers all over the place blocking commercial sites, as there are some indicative of that on the Garrison way. That's too obtrusive. But what I would like to do is open it up so that those who are interested in pursuing a business that embraces using the shipping containers as a housing unit for growing vegetation in during the winter months and not marijuana related. So I just wanted to specify that it's all edible food. So that they had an opportunity to be able to have a level playing field in the marketplace.
Okay.
So that's why I wanted to bring that up.
Okay. All those in favor of the reconsideration? And opposed, that is carried. Okay, so the second that, which is on the floor, so I understand that Councillor Lubert, your position is that we should be simply voting on the resolution that had been previously defeated, which we've now agreed to reconsider. And so the wording is somewhat different. It's on the floor, so Councillor Butler, you would technically be amending the previous resolution, and all that you're adding in is residential. Okay. Is everybody clear on that? Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Worship. Could I just ask through you to planning staff, our current bylaw regarding shipping containers, is it currently that they are not permitted anywhere?
Industrial.
They are permitted in industrial.
And is that all
industrial locations, or do we attach caveats to that?
Industrial, and there's a limit, I believe. Mr. Brady, can you comment on that?
Currently, they're permitted in industrial areas on a temporary basis. Temporary, relatively undefined, but nonetheless, they're not to be permanent. Throughout the rest of the municipality, which would be both commercial, residential, agricultural, rural, institutional, all those lands, it is a prohibited use.
Your Worship, to the mover, I'm just wondering if we should include industrial. I'd hate to leapfrog residential and commercial to today's context and maybe leave industrial in the past, but I leave that for the mover's consideration.
Worship, thank you. I have absolutely no problem including that. I don't know why I didn't think of that, so thank you for bringing that up.
I think your intention was to cover all properties.
Yes, thank you.
So we would add industrial, and that's a friendly amendment unless anyone has an objection to that. Okay with that? And the seconder you had was Councillor McDermott?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Mayor, I know this is unusual, but right now what we have is industrial, commercial, and residential being considered, which is fine. One of the things that Councillor Butler talked about was the use of these containers for agricultural purposes. Might it be of assistance to the council that they ask for an information report on all forms or all land uses, and that can differentiate as I bring back the report?
But why don't we do this? Why don't we have a formal amendment now? We're all over the globe. So why don't we just, Councillor Butler, maybe consider rewording this so that it's containers on all municipal properties. Staff can deal with that. Sorry? All properties. Stroke out residential and commercial. If your seconder is content with that, anybody take issue with that now being the resolution?
Yes, can we just read out the resolution just so everybody understands?
Yep. Councillor Butler.
Do you want me to read the entire thing or just the last
yes.
That council directs staff to prepare an information report with options on amending the zoning bylaw regarding shipping containers on all properties.
No further questions or comments. All those in favor? That is carried. That takes us to notices of motion. Councillor Butler, you had one, and I believe Councillor Zanko, you were going to move on.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Whereas the Town of Fort Erie supports the benefit that the Region of Niagara SNP program has on downtown areas, and whereas the Town of Fort Erie is disappointed that the Region of Niagara has canceled the Community Improvement Program CIP payments for projects approved after August 4th, 2017, as this program has been very successful in promoting downtown revitalization and has been matched by the Town of Fort Erie. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Municipal Council of the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie requests Niagara Regional Council to include funding in its 2018 budget and reinstate this program to continue throughout the end of 2018. And further, that the clerk be directed to provide this resolution to area municipalities for support and the region of Niagara.
Okay. So in terms of the notice of motion, it doesn't have to be precise here. If it is, that's fine. There may be, so that you don't have to be completely have a notice of motion, and that will be dealt with at the October the 10th council meeting. Okay. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a notice of motion as well, further to our conversation with regard to short-term rental properties and Airbnb. I'm not completely sure of what the wording of that motion should be right now. Simply, I know Mr. Brady had indicated that he's going to follow and monitor what Niagara Falls is doing, but perhaps I can work on that. And
what I would suggest you do is perhaps have some dialogue with Mr. Brady and the two of you up with some satisfactory wording for that motion. And again, that will be dealt with at the October the 10th meeting.
Yes. Thanks.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to give notice of motion that design work for Hope Crescent to be turned into a full and complete street be given consideration for this year's budget delegations.
2018 budget?
Yes, that's correct.
Councillor Passero, did you have a note? Anyone else? Councillor Lubritz.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just going back to Councillor Butler's motion, did we not just hear earlier from Councillor Nunziata that the SNP program wasn't canceled?
Well,
that it was just overfunded and that
they were going
into reserves. They didn't want to go into the reserves anymore, but it was not canceled.
Yeah, that's why I say the wording doesn't have to be precise and you're not bound by the wording, so that between now and October the 10th, perhaps that can be clarified, because you're quite correct. It hasn't been canceled. It's been oversubscribed. As Councillor Nunziata said, that's in some respects a good news story. In other respects, it's a bad news story for those who still be looking for it. But definitely this council should be on record as wanting of a continuation and really an expansion of that program. We put in $80,000 to $100,000 a year. If you extrapolated that at the regional level, it would be $1.1 or more million dollars per year. Have a notice of motion. Yeah, okay, fair enough. If there are no other, is there another notice of motion?
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay. All right, so then that takes us to a consideration of bylaws. And is there anyone who wishes, well, there's one bylaw, I guess. Can't take it out of the package. It's the only one there. Councillor Passero, you have the resolution for first and second reading.
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 111-2017 to exempt a certain lot in Plan 59M-419 from part lot control, Spears Road Estate Subdivision, Block 39, Meadowood Street, Ashton Homes, Western Limited, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That bylaw is on the floor for questions or comments. There are none. Councillor Zanko, could you proceed to third and final reading, please?
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw number 111-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and the Clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Lubritz, you have the first and second reading for the confirmatory bylaw.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councilor McDermott that bylaw number 112-2017 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on September 25th, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. And Councilor McDermott, you have third and final reading.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Lubertz that bylaw number 112-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. There's a transit advisory committee meeting on Thursday of this week, September the 28th, I believe at noon. Gathering, it's a luncheon meeting because it's at the barrel, so we'll get to eat. There's an EETC meeting on Wednesday of this week. No, that's a round table.
It's the
industrial leaders round table.
And I'll be attending that.
Okay. And so that's at 6 o'clock, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's at Bridgewater. Any other meetings? I'll let you guys go. Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have planning and development services on Wednesday at 4 p.m. here at Town Hall, and we also have Community Gaming and Development Corporation here at Town Hall for 5 p.m. Thank you.
Others? Who has the resolution to adjourn?
I do, Your Worship.
Well, look at that. Councilor Nutt.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Zanko, that council adjourns at 7.09 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of council on October 10, 2017. Just to note, that's a Tuesday after the holiday.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Thank you all.